So we've moved into official mode and we're now recording and using microphones to speak. Okay, just very quickly for people who haven't been involved in the process in any particular degree, this working group was established by the CCNSO to look at issues of delegations and redelegations, and its mandate is to come up with recommendation to the CCNSO community as to whether or not there needs to be a policy development process launched for delegations and redelegations concerning CCTLDs. It is not to try and interpret policies or develop policies along the way, and it's reached a reasonable milestone at this meeting by having a detailed draft analysis report that has looked at fairly much all the ICANN decisions made on delegations and redelegations since ICANN's inception in 1998, recorded them, and then gone through to highlight decisions by the ICANN board that perhaps were not quite confined to within policy, and to examine to the extent possible the IANA procedures in considering delegations and redelegations. The only documentation this group has used has been publicly available documentation on the ICANN website and readily accessible documents. So the links are there to the progress report to this meeting, which is quite a substantial document. It's 10 or so pages, and the actual analysis report, which is about 110 pages. We also have either currently online or going online shortly a 60-page slideshow of a bullet point summary of the entire process to date. So if people want to have a quick review of the work of this working group, that slide presentation is worth working through, and hopefully it will entice you into reading the exciting documentation that we've produced. The question remains for this working group that we still haven't been able to uncover any documentation on any pre-ICANN delegation or redelegation, and it would be useful to the working group to have some documentation, even if it's the exchange of emails between John Postel and a delegation holder, or a Terranode informational that allowed a delegation, or any such documentation that would help us complete our details, although the relevance of those documents, you know, can only be determined by actually reading them. So if you know of any early delegations, pre-1998 delegations or redelegations, where someone might have been studious enough to keep records, please put them in touch with me. And I had a discussion with Oscar Moreno yesterday from DocPR, and he believes that he has his actual documentation from a 1989 delegation, so that will be very handy if he can find it, and he's promised to try and get it to me soon. There were issues raised within the working group relating to the analysis report. Eberhard Lisa and Bill Semick raised some specific issues. Eberhard regarding the .au redelegation, and Bill several items. And as working group members, we'll work our way through that in time to come. We did have our presentation to the CCNSO membership, a public session on Tuesday afternoon, and a number of useful issues were raised. Was there anything that we should report on, Bernie?
On the at the CCTLD?
Yeah.
Thank you, Keith. I think we had a few interesting questions, but probably what was more telling is we managed to keep about everyone in the room for a 4 o'clock meeting on the first day. So I guess people generally appreciate it. One of the points that were made that sticks in my mind was made by Patricio, whereby, you know, he quite correctly pointed out that we had to go through this exercise. Well, he didn't put it this way, but by the end of the conversation, we had to go through this exercise to identify what the policies were. And now, once we finished that analysis and we settled this down, then we've got to go over them to see if there are issues within that, which is completely relevant to the work of the working group. The other thing that came out was that in going through all the delegations, redelegations, and retirements, I was grabbing information from everywhere, and after the first few, it became quite obvious that it was going to be a fair amount of work doing this, and I didn't see why anyone would have to reproduce that in the future. So I've structured everything for each decision into a single document. So there's one document per where we can, all the stuff has been plowed together, and I believe that'll be useful regardless going forward when people look at this thing. So that's probably another product of this working group for the CCNSO or even the whole internet community. I believe that's about it. Did I forget something?
Not that I'm aware of. I think, yeah.
No, I've got it. I'm going to plow it together before the end of the thing. I've got a little bit of cleaning up to do, but essentially.
Oh. 700 pages?
Yeah, 700 pages or so.
I think the value of collecting the documents in such form will be useful if there is a recommendation for a PDP and a PDP ensues, that to have a single resource put together will save a lot of time, because I think Bernie and Bart between them have spent an exceptional amount of time finding, and then other people saying, oh, and there's also this document here and there. It's not particularly easy. And I note with interest that ICANN have undertaken to reform a part of its website to have all the board decisions listed categorically
and
searchable on the website, which kind of would be a useful resource for everyone.
It would have saved me a lot of work.
They were going to do it before. I mean, they thought
I'd wait for it. Ah, yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised at that at all.
Timing is everything. And I think, you know, notwithstanding the fact that a good many people in the CC community and certainly within the GAC won't have had a chance to review the analysis paper. Hi, Becky, come and join. The analysis paper, you know, I'm expecting more feedback going forward. So the public comments period runs through to the 15th of September, and we're urging either individual or collective input to the document. And then that brings us on to where we go from here, and my suggested roadmap through to Columbia is... as is on screen, we did discuss that this at the Sunday working group meeting. Two conference calls, July the 15th and July the 22nd, to discuss specifically the Aberhart and Bill Semick issues, and I think we'll add to that, if we can, the Patricio issues, if I can label them as such. Then really having a bit of a break as a working group through to when the submissions close on 15 September, and then a schedule of weekly meetings thereafter. It may be that not all those meetings are required, but on the basis of our last round of meetings, we found we needed more, so let's schedule them all in, and it's much easier to cancel than to... then to add meetings in. So that would give us a weekly set of meetings from 16 September through to 25 November, which would be the pretty much the publishing date for ICANN Columbia.
Thank you.
Sure, Patricia.
Yeah, about the meetings, I know the working group has agreed on a rotating schedule with of the times. But that, at least in my case and a few others, it basically means that there is one meeting we simply miss, the one that happens at 2 a.m. in my local time. And on the other hand, it was mentioned the other day that 20 UTC would be a time that would be agreeable for everyone. So I would suggest that we consider the 20 UTC time.
I think that was suggested as being the case, but it's not necessarily all that suitable to me. Exactly, it's one of my worst times. I mean, 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. is when I'm usually asleep.
So 8 a.m., so that's 6
a.m. Yeah, it's really difficult. I think we've been through these discussions several times, but but can I reiterate? Can I reiterate that? I think, well, let's take it on list get Abahat to perhaps propose a resolution. Patricia can work with Abahat on that. But I could reiterate that by spinning the times by 8 hours, it was intended that we would never conclude a single item of business on one call. Everything would be repeated on the next call. So if you missed any one meeting, you would not be disadvantaged in terms of having input and making decisions, that nothing would become binding as of a single meeting. So I thought that was the compromise we'd clearly reached. As a working group member, feel free to make a proposal and see how much support there is for it. Okay. Bill. I'm suggesting that anyone can propose anything at any stage. So if you want to formally create a resolution, I think we can take it. But I think since there's so few working group members in attendance, that it should be posted to the list, and we'll have a discussion period and, if necessary, a voting period on the list.
I raise it only because we've missed a lot of people, not just because of the 2 a.m. times on the East Coast and other places. For example, maybe someone can't make it at 2 a.m. on one meeting, and then they have something scheduled on the next meeting in their business life. And so if we have a single time that could be scheduled, and it's the single time that I'm concerned about, then people could just plot it out and work around it.
I think for everyone that it conveniences, there are possibly equal numbers that are inconvenienced. Let's examine the options. But I think, you know, the critical thing was trying to find a time slot that suits Kim, who, or I guess Marina Del Rey as a time slot and New Zealand as a time slot, on the basis that we were likely to be the two who not only share the same initials but had to be on every call.
Done it once already.
New Zealand so much. No. Anyway, so, and that really is the business I have for the working group, unless there's any other items anyone wants to raise. Thank you, Chris.
Just to let you know that the document, the review document that Bernie prepared, Becky's going to put that into the Accountability and Transparency Review Team as a document for them to look at, because, of course, accountability in ICANN, at least in one sense, is accountability to the policy. And so the document is a useful tool, especially given that Larry Strickling and the rest of them are quite rightly, I think, asking for specific issues rather than just sort of general chit-chat. So that's good. Just wanted to let you know.
So the working group's work has been of some value already. And Suzanne, is there anything to report from the GAC?
Apologies. I'm just looking for the GAC communique, which took us quite a bit of time to negotiate, but this particular paragraph, which I wrote, was edited in a minimal way, but I thought I would read it to you if you bear with me. Giannis just sent the text around. Of course, it will be read out by our new
While you're looking,
chair.
Gabby wants to make a point.
Not me. Eberhard asked me to read out. Which version will be put to the Accountability Transparency Group?
The answer is the current version. Yeah. It's the most up-to-date we have.
He's asking draft?
Yes, the draft analysis report.
Eberhard, I hope you can hear me. It's a public document which is published for comment. It might be useful for them to read it, so Becky is going to point them to the link and suggest that they read it. That's it.
Okay. Have you had any luck there, Suzanne?
Shall I read the whole paragraph?
Go on. Make our day.
The GAC and the CCNSO held a constructive exchange regarding the scope and work to date of the CCNSO Delegation, Redelegation, and Retirement Working Group, based on a presentation of the Working Group's progress report and initial assessment. The GAC welcomed the CCNSO's invitation to provide comment on the text and looks forward to further discussions during the annual meeting in December 2010. Then the paragraph goes on to talk about the other issues that we exchanged with the CCNSO, but that's the statement there.
Excellent.
And it's not advice.
I imagine that a lot of negotiations have to create that part.
Okay, thanks for that. And are you aware of any individual, without naming names, but any individual concerns or issues that are likely to arise?
No concerns specifically flagged, but a great deal of interest. And if you will recall, when I was asked by this working group to confirm the status of the 2005 GAC principles, which I duly did, there was an outpouring of emails from some of the membership who had never commented online. So I think that tells you people are paying attention. They're very interested. So I think that's a good sign.
So we're also responsible for greater engagement in the GAC. think he's in.
this may be the golden goose.
Sorry. Okay. Are there any other comments? Is there any issues that anyone wishes to raise before we close the meeting? Dave,
can I just ask a question? I must admit I haven't read all of the great opus yet. But was any differentiation made between contested and uncontested redelegations?
No. Well, can we tease that out a bit? The decisions that were made by the ICANN board on the IANA reports are either delegations or redelegations, and the level of contestation is probably more hidden behind that. So, maybe if you can tease out your question.
There's not a lot of teasing to do, but I mean, knowing the .ky redelegation, where it was a forced redelegation from a commercial company in the States to back to the Cayman Islands, if you like, and where that company was threatening the board with legal action and injunctions, etc., makes it a different kind of redelegation decision for the board than where it is an amicable one merely because it is changing between one ministry and another or something of that sort.
Okay. Gabby's enthusiastically waving, so I don't know if she has a relevant point. And then Chris.
This is Eberhard's point, and he's saying .au is the example of contested and pending.
So, thanks for that, Eberhard. Did we look at KY? I don't recall. Did we look at it and turn to jelly? Sorry.
As with all delegations, redelegations at that time, I've got the analysis document from it, but of if course. You go through it versus the policy, there was nothing that stood out.
Yeah, but I think, okay, so my answer to your question was going to be, and it raises an interesting point, my answer to your question was going to be, it's not about a contested redelegation and a redelegation should both be done under the same policy. So it's about whether the decisions meet the policy or not. Having said that, given that the most complicated scenario you could possibly have, at least that I can think of, from a trying to write policy point of view, is a contested redelegation, and quite clearly that's the sort of thing that needs to be concentrated on when one is looking at colouring in the detail of a policy. But for the purposes of an analysis report, which simply is there to show whether there are gaps between, and I'm paraphrasing here, gaps between the behaviour of the board in making its decisions and what is written down, it doesn't really much matter which one you use and whether it's contested or how badly contested or et cetera. But I agree that when we go further, we're going to need to do some work at looking, not in this working group necessarily, but we're going to need to do some work at actually looking at the contested, because that's the only way to figure out what the rules should be. I've got, I had a meeting yesterday with the telecommunications minister of a particular country, which will remain nameless, who currently has their TLD is currently delegated to a company in their country that, as far as they can tell, doesn't exist, in the sense that they can't find it, and it doesn't have an office, and the administrative contact is a bloke that they don't know, and the technical contact is actually the person who has control of the TLD and the zone file, and that's being operated outside of the country. Now, what do you say to that government about how they get, well, you just have to sort it out. Go talk to them, etc. It's pretty hard. So we need to, that's why we're looking at this sort of thing.
As far as I understand it, and from my reading, and when we were doing our redelegation, which was successful in the end, wasn't it the case, or isn't it the case, that ICANN does not get involved in the contest? I think I've read it in a number of different places that the issue ought to be settled before the documentation is presented to IANA. So I'm not sure if the issue of a contested versus a non-contested delegation is something that actually reaches the board.
It does to a degree, but and you're right. But that particular response, which is a very sensible response, which is go home and sort it out, is fine, provided that you actually can sort it out at home. In other words, provided that at least that the 50% of the equation. If 50% of the equation that needs to sort it out is not present, unwilling to talk, and won't give you the zone file under any circumstances, then and is not in your jurisdiction, then how do you sort that out? Because you can't. You can legislate even at your own in your own jurisdiction, but it's not going to help you if the other side of the equation is resident somewhere else. So I agree with you completely. I'm just making the point of just how difficult sometimes this can really be. So, yes, Dave, I agree with you.
Absolutely. I mean, and there is a case where one of the parties takes out an injunction against the board. The board is then involved.
Yes, but I guess going... not disagreeing with anything said, in the Cayman instance, the former delegee was... based out of country, so that's a very hard thing to resolve by discussions within the local internet community. In your instance, it sounds like it was all within country, which is a slightly different scenario, and then the temptation is to say, local internet community, sort it out, and if you can't sort it out, then come back, as a general rule.
But doesn't the very fact that the entity resides outside of the country already fall outside of the rules right from the beginning, 1591?
Yes.
So I would imagine that they already fall of the regulations. So something ought to kick in at that point.
Point made. Patricia.
Yeah. Well, about what was last said, that might be true for delegations that were made after 1591 was issued, but not to those that were done before. But my point was a different one. I believe that for the purpose of analysis, it would be useful to distinguish contested redelegations from others. There are two processes that happen. One is the removal of the former delegee. The other one is the appointment of a new one. When the transfer is voluntary, the first process is very simple. It's just a declaration from the former delegee that it is in agreement for this to happen. If it's contested, the process is, I imagine, a lot more complicated. And for that reason alone, I think it should be distinguished from other things. The appointment of a new delegee is also a process that's interesting, and I think we have to focus on that too. But I think it's useful for our analysis to distinguish both things.
I guess there's some value in the examination, but when we look at our mandate, perhaps that's not the purpose of this working group. Our purpose is to measure the decisions by the ICANN board relating to the policies that are applied. That is the purpose of the working group.
If you would please display, if you please display the charter of this working group, you'll see that the purpose is not what you're saying. The purpose is to analyze the current policies
and to the to make a recommendation on whether there is a need for a PDP to possibly change those current policies.
Not the board decisions.
Well, sure, but at the end of the day, the analysis is there consistency between the policies, and is there consistency in the decision making, the procedural decision making, in relation to those policies?
I think it was I think it may just be semantics. The purpose of this document is to inform the discussion about what the inform the discussion to meet the purpose of the charter. It's not the purpose of this working group to make a recommendation that says the board is crap at doing its job and should be will be shot. Notwithstanding that, that may actually be true. Or the reverse, exactly. But this is one methodology for working this out. And in fact, what we're asking the members of the CCNSO to do is, to, as part of their feedback, is to tell us that this methodology that we're using, not just Bernie's decision tree, but the whole review thing, is actually a sensible way of proceeding.
We should not confuse the journey with the destination. This journey of examining the history, I think, is a very useful one and necessary, since there is no clear, explicit policy. What policy turns out to be is whatever has happened. So, but that's the journey. The destination is to analyze current policy and then make a recommendation on whether there should or be a PDP or not. The mandate for this working group is not to analyze the board decisions. You can read the mandate, and it's not there at all.
Since we're in it, we might as well carry on. That's not strictly true. I don't think that's quite right. No. Hang on. I agree with you exactly what the charter says. We don't need to do that. I'm happily put it up. But my point would be, I think, that an analysis of the board decisions assists you in saying the policy is deficient and therefore is an essential part of coming to conclusions, but the analysis of the board decisions is not the destination, as you say. It's the journey to looking at as part of looking at the policy. So, for example, you could look at 1591 and say, well, that looks all right, not a problem, happy with that. But when you go and look at the board decisions and discover, for example, that the board has been interpreting the local internet community as a representative of ICANN who gets flown to the country and stands there and says, I'm the local internet community, then you might think maybe that policy needs a little bit more colour and light. So therefore the two things are related to each other, but on the pure point of what the charter says, I agree.
Something Patricia said just a few minutes ago I completely agreed with, which is something like there's no clear current policy, and I think that was the core of what I was hoping to say. I heard throughout this meeting, in fact I've heard over the months, we're comparing all these redelegations to the policy, and I think that's somewhat of a misnomer. From my perspective, and admittedly this might be purely my only personal opinion, but RSC 1591 is a statement of the practices that were done at the time it was published, and I think ICP1 pretty much falls under that same description. It was a statement of what ICANN was doing in 1999. Whether they're policies or not, it's a hard question to answer. I'm not doubting that there's large chunks of them that are the policy and are still the policy. But if you read through 1591 from beginning to end, half of it is complete rubbish at this point in time. It refers to stuff that is clearly not policy. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Stuff has somewhat evolved. You know, John Postel put out a memo in 1997, prior to ICANN. He said explicitly, now when we do changes, we consider government views. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, we consider that a moment where practice changed. It wasn't documented in RSC 1591, wasn't documented in ICP1. We made a clear statement, emailed every CCTLD operator at the time saying, governments now have an important role in CCTLDs, and that's affecting how IANN is doing changes. So there's been an evolution, and I think it's just... I just wanted to put on the record, I think that if we're absolute saying we're comparing it against policy, you're implying that there is an absolute policy to compare it against, and I think that's... you get into trouble when you go too far down that path.
I think further to that, these are the published policies and guidelines that are that have been available, as opposed to policy developed by any other process. So it's all we have on which to base the discussion. So that's it. Patricio and then Bill.
Yeah, I agree with Chris in that this historical analysis may be the best way to try to reach to wherever we're trying to get in this working group. But we should not think it is the only way. To give a counterexample, if through this analysis we were to come to the conclusion that the board and IANA have always acted according to policy, whatever policy was at the time, that still would not mean that there's no need for a PDP, because our analysis of the current policies could lead us to the conclusion that those policies need to be changed.
Certainly, no disagreement. Bill?
Well, I actually, as everyone knows, believe that RFC 1591 is currently the only policy that we have to refer to with respect to CCTLDs, and the rest is all procedure and implementation and interpretation. And it's my opinion that the board acts have been implementations of procedures and recommendations and interpretations of the policy. And I think this is covered, actually, in the one of the documents that's setting our direction. You could put it up. We could probably figure it out. We're looking at policies and procedures, not just policies.
And guidelines. Sorry, over here.
Just to revisit, just briefly, as we were here talking about the issue of whether a request is contested or uncontested, it just occurred to me that perhaps the board does not need to be involved if there's an uncontested redelegation, because you could simply ask IANA to make all the necessary changes. It's just a thought that occurred to me just now. I was just wondering if Kim had a comment on that.
I think procedurally, IANA prepares a report and the board signs off on each occasion. I think to add another sort of point of contention to the whole debate, though, too, it's not part of this working group's mandate to look at the contested, unsuccessful redelegations, and that documentation is not available to us. And while that could be a fascinating review of but also, you know, how those things didn't fit or did fit within the policies and guidelines might be very interesting too. However, I think what we have is the information in front of us, and the purpose of our draft analysis report was partly a reality check with our community, and secondly to show that there are examples of various interpretations of policy being applied to both procedurally and in the decision making, and that the test from here on in is, are those variants from the very letter of the rules sufficient to engage us in going through a PDP or not? And so the next stage for this group is that purpose, and perhaps we're getting down to a level of detail we don't need to on that path forward. So, any other comments? One here, and
can I just respond to Denzel's specific?
Yeah, sure.
just with respect to board approvals, firstly, that hasn't happened all of ICANN's history. It was instituted around 2001. I'm not actually sure what precipitated that, but I think it's good that there's staff don't have all the power on this. So, I think the current policy is better than having staff make absolute decisions. That being said, the board recognises the current approach is not scalable. Already we're hitting the limits of the board's capacity to review delegations with the fast track. They're being asked to consider 6 to 10 applications in one meeting. They do not have the time to deliberate in detail on every single one in a 2-hour meeting they have every 3 months. So they're looking at ways to scale, and there's no solution yet, but they recognise there's an issue, and it seems to me that there's a good probability that in the medium term that it won't be the same model that we have today. But obviously there'll be consultations and so forth when before a decision is made.
And I think also to add to that, there's potential for significant growth in the CCTLD numbers with IDN CCTLDs, and therefore the opportunities for redelegations of IDN CCTLDs arises as well. So probably more contestation for board time. Sorry, madam.
Yeah. Firstly, I want to apologize because I just guess this session is to discuss the problem of redelegation. But actually, it's discussed about the next agenda. But my concern today, again, this is if I can ask to all of you, is there a session in ICANN session that's special to discuss the problem of process redelegation and it close for the party who is maybe from us, from Indonesia, with all of you who have intention in redelegation process evaluation. So I know CCNSO have making a working group to discuss model of management of CCTLD, but this is a special, close, but just for the party who has problem, and then the ICANN party who have intention to manage this problem.
I'm not sure that or certainly outside this working group's capability and nor is it our desire to visit any current delegation or redelegation. It's way beyond our scope. Our scope is purely to come back to the CCNSO on whether or not there needs to be much clearer rules, and if the decision is that there needs to be clearer rules and policies, then it will take some time for those to come about. So anyone who is in the process of or desiring a delegation or redelegation, I'm not sure if there is, or I know it's certainly outside of this working group's mandate, and I'm not sure if there's a vehicle within ICANN to cope with that. Chris, have you got any comments in that regard?
I agree with you. And other than that, no. not at this point. I'll happily have a chat with you afterwards, but no, I don't think I do.
It's Chris and Gabby.
Everhart, really. So he first said, I do not agree with Keith's statement, exclusion of unsuccessful. Patricia is quite right. We should read the charter, which is very wide. And then he wrote again. I do not agree with Keith on his limitation of the scope, as I cannot find the limitation in the charter that I am reading at the moment.
Thank you, Everhart.
In point two in the agenda, perhaps as a non-native English speaker, I'm missing something, but why is this thing of misbehave even listed? Isn't it just a typo that needs to be corrected?
Uh, We think it is. And
yeah, why do you put it on the agenda?
Just to make the...
Oh, come on. No. I mean, anything in the agenda is something that we need to consider and discuss.
Yeah, it became a code word for a number of items. And I think... Yeah, Bill understood exactly what it meant and commented the other day, and so did we.
Simplifications represent a number of issues that were presented by Bill.
Okay. I think our time is up anyway. So, it's now rapidly approaching 10 o'clock. So I had one question here and then maybe one more to just finalise.
I don't want to prolong the meeting unnecessarily, but as you recall, I posted a comment to the group the other day. And the last question I asked is something that I think just needs some sort of an answer from somebody who may know. You can only answer if you know. But is the U.S. government still involved in a final sign-off on a redelegation?
Can I
answer that one? Yes. I mean, there's a particular department or of the U.S. government, but yes. Technically, the process is... any change in the database. So it's not a question of approval of delegations or redelegations, it's any change in the database. Goes through, unless I get this wrong, in which case you'll hit me, no doubt, goes through the whatever process it goes through at ICANN, whatever that may be, and at the moment it's ICANN because ICANN's running IANA. Then it goes to the USG, and then it goes to VeriSign for the actual thing to be done. So in the case of the delegation of the IDN CCTLDs, for example, IANA does what it does, the board approves the delegation, then it goes to the USG, and then it goes to VeriSign, and they put it into the route. And that has been the case from day one, I believe.
I don't mind adding a little bit to that to clarify. This is the three-legged stool. That's simply the structure. And it hasn't changed since the beginning. But we simply verify that ICANN has followed the agreed process. So we don't review the merits, okay, of any requested change. We review whether the contractor has followed the agreed process.
You're not making any judgmental decisions about the merits or otherwise. It's come to you as a recommendation, and you are checking technically to make sure this will not bring the internet to its knees, etc. It's not an approval, it's a check.
It is a check. Now, I don't know whether checking to make sure it doesn't bring the internet to its knees...
Now we're into how with your libel.
Now you're into crystal ball gazing. I mean, but no, I know what you mean. But I just wanted to be very clear. We do not look into the substance of any of these requests per se. No, it's that the contractor has followed the agreed process.
I suppose you'd have to take the contractor's word at that, because if they're presenting a report to you, they will present a report that says we did X, Y, Z, and Z. Now, if you're taking that then on face value, which indeed I hope you do anyway, but I'm just suggesting that if you're taking it on face value, then really what is it? Because they could have left out a step but put it in the report.
I think our last question from Eric.
No, it's not a question. I am suggest to put in the report a diagram or a graphic that could show be very easy the complete process, including these 2 points and maybe one or two paragraph said the same words. That could be very useful for to clarify, maybe like a comment or one paragraph.
Okay, very. We're actually out of time for the room, so the last comment from that.
Chris mentioned it's been this way since day one. If you mean by day one of ICANN, it's certainly been this way since before day one.
I was referring to IANA. Actually, I said it's currently ICANN because they run IANA.
Yeah. No,
it's been this way since day one is effectively what I meant.
All I'm saying is that before ICANN, there were automatic changes in the route. But that was when the database was still with the .com database. The minor point.
I was going to say, clearly DOC didn't approve every route change back to the beginning of the DNS, so at some point it changed.
Okay, look, I think we need to draw this meeting to a conclusion, but as members of the working group, I look forward to ongoing debate on these topics during our forthcoming schedule of meetings. So thank you all for your attendance today, and I'll draw the meeting to a conclusion. Thank you.
Now that the meeting has ended, I must formally object to the presence of that vuvuzela here in this room.